I didn't really care when she was working at a brothel, but then she got a sugar daddy, and I think that then changed the dynamics of our relationship.
Having that real clear understanding of like, no, what we have is very, very intimate, very special, and what I'm doing outside of that, that sex job is actually just a job.
I have seen partners who think they are being supportive, but unfortunately it's crossed the line into control.
I think actually ultimately it was a good thing for our relationship because we did have differing sex drives as well. So she was a lot more sexual than me and had a much higher sex drive.
Stripping has been constructed as this girl boss thing that's like palatable to normative society, but there's still a lot of stigma attached to selling sex acts.
Hi, I'm Dee Salmon and I have a confession to make.
Oh my God, what is it?
So I've been away.
Yeah.
I've been away for like maybe 10 days or that.
Yep. In Perth.
Yep. Brisbane, Gold Coast, Perth. Oh, yes. Tour. Doing a bit of a book tour. Anyway, I came home the other day and I really feel bad admitting this. The heater was on.
Oh, fuck. For 10 days? Oh, your bill is going to be so fucked.
I don't know.
Was it like a blow heater?
It's the heating in the bathroom.
Oh, like so underneath the tiles?
No. Like on the racks. Like tile you rack. Know that that is an expensive heater. Oh. And I felt sick. Less about the cost in a cost of living crisis, but more about the fact that I wasted so much energy. I felt sick to my stomach.
Oh my God.
But I also don't know. Like maybe it just, I can't tell if it turned on when I walked in.
So you're like not sure if it's your fault. Well, so you're like, I'm holding space for myself to be the victim here.
The story I'm telling myself is I walked in the door and it said, hello, darling.
Oh, my God. You were like, wow, so and warm and cozy.
It turned itself on for me as I walked through the door.
Oh, well, we'll know whenever you get your power bill.
You'll be hearing from me.
Oh, fuck. That's actually so stressful.
I know.
Hi, I'm Pip Rasmussen. And I actually did get a pretty big power bill the other day, but I was responsibly using my heater because it's really, really cold. My house has a lot of windows and I need to sort that shit out because
you do have a beautiful view.
It's great, but it's like, it's just letting the cold in really bad. But now I'm thinking about your thing. I'm like, no, let's keep going about yours. I'm like, are you going to be in a deficit now? Because you've accidentally left the heater on for 10 days. I kind of am like, now are you doing something where you're like, I can't put it on for now the 10 days. I have to put like blankets
on. Oh, that's
on.
A great.
Do you know what I mean?
Girl math it.
You've got to like,
I've girl mathed it.
Figure out the deficit and like, reverse it minus.
Yeah, 100%. I absolutely will be doing that. And I.
Same here because of my power bill.
Yeah. I'm like, all the lights are off. I'm going to live in pitch black.
Yeah.
All, everything, even at the PowerPoints, off.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know. Anyway.
Cost of living.
So that's where we're at. But, Pip, huge episode we've got in store for you all. If you are listening for the first time, we don't talk about heating. We talk about love, sex, dating, and relationships. And a topic we've actually never covered before, I think. No, we have covered it, but like
not in this angle though.
We've never opened it up at Triple J the Hookup to weigh in.
So we wanted to find out your experiences of dating and sex and relationships and sex work.
Yeah.
Whether or not you are a partner of someone who does sex work or you're the sex worker yourself. It's such an interesting topic. There are so many different angles and we're really keen to explore and just give you a platform to hear about what it's like, whether there's challenges or if there's like a lot of positives in your life. Like,
or if you've been dating and if you've ever experienced some sort of backlash or stigma or if you find it hard to date when you tell people what you do for work or is it something that you hide and you don't tell people?
It can be quite complex. And I feel like with the rise of OnlyFans, you know, the accessibility to become like somebody who works in the sex industry is a lot, it's easier than ever before, really. And so we've had people on and we've had friends who've like, I'm dabbling in some, you know, online content as an adult creator and I'm still dating or I have a long-term partner. Like, how do they feel about that? Like, how do you manage that in a relationship? So we're going to have a look at that. I also have friends who are engaged and like, or seriously dating people who are full service, like in real life sex workers as well. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. There's a lot of different types of work and we're going to get into it. So let's begin.
So just quickly, I think it's worth acknowledging that, you know, sex work is sometimes a contentious subject for some people.
Yeah.
The definitions, like people said, is often changing. The rights of sex workers are always debated and the stigma is still quite large. you know, pretty negative. Mm. I know we are normalizing it now, like Pip said, with OnlyFans and the rise of these conversations online. But what we wanted to do with this episode is acknowledge that, but also give you as sex workers and partners of sex workers a platform to speak honestly about your experiences. We don't want any judgment for this episode. We want to, you know, kind of just open up the floor and hear from you.
With that in mind, let's quickly define sex work. Because as you were saying, like, a lot of the goalposts kind of move all the time in terms of what people consider sex work. Obviously, we've mentioned like adult online creators. So people like on OnlyFans, maybe you're like running a horny Twitter and you're like getting payments through PayPal or whatever you're doing. Like that, I would say, is sex work. And also there's obviously like, you know, full service people who work in brothels, or you're like an escort, you may be doing private stuff. But then there's also like the adjacent sex work stuff as well, which I think sometimes people feel like they're like, oh, I do topless waiting, but I don't feel like I'm a sex worker because I'm not physically, you know, like doing anything with somebody.
Yeah, I guess we want to open up the floor to people who work within the sex industry, right?
Exactly.
So whether that's strippers, dancers, topless waiters, the boyfriend, girlfriend experience, sugar babies, mummies, daddies, we want to just open up the floor. Like if you have some sort of experience in the sex or adult industry,
yeah,
I reckon we would consider that a part of this episode.
Exactly, yeah. So we did a poll on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup is where you can find us. We asked how many of you have dated a sex worker. 14% of you said you have, which I think is pretty big, but I also am like, our audience is very sex positive. So are we. So I'm like not that surprised to hear about
that.
I know.
I'm like, I love our listeners and I love the hookup community because, yeah, you guys are always so honest and open and I feel like there's no judgment and sex positive.
Mm.
So that is a pretty big stat that I probably don't think would represent the normal average Australian population, but we love that for this episode.
Yeah. And of this 14% of you, we asked, how did you feel about dating somebody and like their sex work while you were with them? So 37% of you said you had no problems with it at all. 28% of you said sometimes it's a touchy subject. And 36% of you said difficult to navigate. So it's actually pretty even spread like across, which is kind of personally what I love to see in a poll, because I'm like, great, we've got a lot of different opinions here. Like it's not like a landslide on one thing. So
you know it's going to make a good episode.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got like a lot of positive, negative, and you know, like a bit of like a in the middle kind of there. So what we're going to do is I reckon we'll start out with talking from the partner's perspectives of people who have been dating or have dated our sex workers and get their experiences. But overall, like we said, everyone in the hookup, we love you. Like you're so sex positive and really overall everyone was like so supportive of the job. So Sean here saying maybe I'm in the minority, but no issues with my partner at the time creating content. Bo saying my wife was a stripper before we met, never had an issue with it. And Aaron saying I dated a porn star while living in Berlin and I loved it.
Yeah, we had, like people said, so many incredible DMs about you guys having no issues. But let's chat about some of the challenges that you experienced. So one of them was dating someone when you didn't know that they had maybe previously been in the sex industry or had done sex work.
Yeah.
This was something that Harry's ex, that happened to him. His ex did OnlyFans and online sex work before they met and he didn't tell him, and he found that the communication around this was a little bit odd.
So I dated a guy for about 9 months and we had a great relationship. The reason it ended was because he said that he felt very uncomfortable about me exploring my sexuality and wearing crop tops or short shorts in public, and he didn't like how that made him look as my partner. So I ended the relationship and we broke up. And then a couple of weeks later, another guy slid into my DMs and was like, oh, you must be single now because your partner's posting on Twitter again. And I was like, sorry, what? And I found that he was posting on Twitter for years before we met, which I didn't know about. And then when we started dating, he had stopped posting and was stopped creating. And then as soon as we broke up, about a couple of days later, he started posting again on there, which I don't have an issue with. And I'm happy if you want to be posting on there or whatever. I think it was strange that he didn't tell me or bring it up. And then I also think in the context of saying that me wearing crop tops in public was uncomfortable for him, and you've got an entire internet personality following where you're fisting yourself with the dildo, bit of a double-edged sword.
Definitely a double standard there. We need to absolutely acknowledge that. I find that interesting. I feel like a lot of my friends who are queer and gay, particularly men, have their like hot, horny Twitter where they upload photos. And not necessarily all of them are like getting money off it. It's kind of just like a personal kind of like kick for them, I guess. And they like enjoy that.
And we are going to hear from people who have been on the other side of that, where they talk about the reasons why they might have hid it from their partner or hid it when they were dating. But we did get, quite a few DMs of people saying that this was their experience. They went into dating and had no idea that the person that they were dating actually like dabbled or had like a full-blown experience in sex work. And this was something that happened to Sam, and he only found out after they broke up as well.
Yeah, so I used to date someone years ago who had moonlighted as a sex worker. And obviously it wasn't – look, the occupation itself is not a deal breaker, but I feel like the – I suppose the forewarning and the communication piece of, you know, I moonlight as this and not communicating that to me is.
It's interesting how, like, again, all of these messages that we got, people were like, totally fine with the job, by the way. There was just a couple of little challenges, and not telling me about it was something that I found difficult to navigate and was a bit like, oh, okay, why didn't you say something? But yeah, let's go to friends and family's reactions, because this was something that I feel like, because everyone in our audience is so sex positive, it's like a lot of you, like we're saying, were so cool with dating someone who was working in the industry, but it was always like friends and family who would have like a negative reaction. This is something that Joey told us. He said, I dated a sex worker and never introduced them to family or friends. I met her as a client. I had her number. We'd text back and forth. We started hanging out, and basically the physical and romance attraction kind of grew organically and gradually. I had absolutely no issues or jealousy about her seeing other clients. It didn't work out because we were just not aligned on our approach of life and philosophy. But also, I felt like there could be some shame about me introducing her to my friends and family. So I stopped dating her, but she still wanted to date. To this day, I'm not sure which factor weighed the most, the life incompatibilities or the shame around what she did for a living and how I met her. And yeah, we had a lot of people who DM'd us as well, Dee, saying like, you know, my family's religious, so like that would never have flown. Like I could never have introduced you.
It's so difficult. It's so hard because it is one of those things where it's like, a lot of people really, really value, right? Like your lifestyles matching, your families and friends being a huge part of your relationship. But it can also be so difficult because you're like, why am I giving up such an incredible, potentially incredible relationship over what other people think? Another thing that you found a challenge was navigating the dynamics that can come out of this. So for some of you, it might be that you're fine with a certain type of sex work that they're doing, but then another one seems to be a bit more maybe like uncomfortable for you, or you found it kind of triggering. And this was something that Mickey sent us a voice memo about with their partner.
I didn't really care when she was working at a brothel, but then she got a sugar daddy. And I think that then changed the dynamics of our relationship, because she would spend a lot of time with him, whereas at a brothel it's very transactional. Even though she would say it was transactional, you know, they had the date nights and she would go out and, you know, party with him and stuff like that. So I think that was probably the biggest challenge for me.
We're actually going to be hearing from Mickey quite a lot in this episode. They sent quite a few voice memos talking about their experience dating their ex, who worked, as they said, like full service in a brothel. And I think this was such a good point, because it was like, the sugar daddy, like you're on call all the time, especially if you're doing online stuff, right? Like you're messaging people, DMing them, like keeping up a relationship and texting all the time. And that there's like a certain intimacy to that. And I think what like Mickey was like obviously explaining there was like, you leave your job at the brothel when you go. Like you've got your hours and you're like set, and then you're like, okay, you leave the work at the door and you come home and you're just like you. But I guess that crossing over the boundary was something that was really difficult.
Yeah, the blurring of just like your lifestyle kind of blurring into your relationship as well. We got this DM from Jason as well. He said, a challenge early on in our relationship was trying to understand the whole thing of someone else being physical with my partner. She explained that it was a bit like a character that she would portray and change her mindset into, but she was a different person with me. For me, I overcame the challenge by viewing it like she comes home to me and I get to be physical still with her, but also we have an intimacy that she doesn't have with other people. There was a feeling in our sex that she would say made it very different to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that real clear understanding of like, no, what we have is very, very intimate, very special, and what I'm doing outside of that, that sex job is actually just a job.
Talking about that intimacy, this is something that we were really interested in finding out, because like, as Jason said, it's like your partner is literally being some kind of intimate sexual relationship vibe with somebody else. That is their job. So that is the biggest hurdle that people really found. Some people found it really difficult, but some people felt like it actually empowered them and it was actually really good for their relationship. This is what Nat had to say about it.
I think actually ultimately it was a good thing for our relationship because we did have differing sex drives as well. So she was a lot more sexual than me and had a much higher sex drive. And I think just, you know, her work alleviated that for the both of us. I felt less pressure. It didn't impact our sex life in the sense of like reducing it or anything like that. But I think, you know, knowing that she kind of had that as a bit of an outlet alleviated the pressure on me to feel like I need to be more sexual than what is natural and normal for me.
I love that. Mm. It absolutely would. It's like, yeah, for some people, this is how they navigate open relationships, right? Like it's something we've heard from you before. It's, I can't meet your needs at this point. I love you. I still really value our relationship. But here is a way that you can kind of, we can all get our needs met that'll actually only empower our relationship and make us closer.
Another challenge that you told us about was when people actually change their mind kind of like later in the relationship. So at the start, they're like, yep, no worries. Like, fine for you to do that. But then
the reality of it.
Yeah, it starts to hit. We had this DM from someone who said, I have a friend who is a dom. She was married to a woman and had been doing dom stuff and sex work for years. And it was a conversation that they agreed on really early in the relationship. Eventually, her partner got over it and left her, and they were married and they had a mortgage. So that's like years into the track.
It's hard though, because yeah, I guess it's like with any relationship, probably though.
It changes.
You develop. What you maybe are drawn to when you start dating someone, I think it's like that kind of famous line of like, the thing that you love about the person that you started dating ends up being the thing that you hate about them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's what's happening here, but I do think that like, yeah, sometimes what you are excited by or drawn to by a person can sometimes be the thing that, yeah, ends up being the end of the relationship or breaking down the relationship, because the reality of it is a lot different to maybe what you expected.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're spot on. And we're going to hear from some sex workers who have encountered this in like short-term dating scenarios as well. We also had some challenges from people talking about like the financial tension and like the differences. So we'll get into the specifics of how like money can really mess with a relationship, as we had a lot of sex workers talk to us about this. But I really like thought this story from Mickey brought up like such a good point of when you are dating somebody who does sex work as a job and they either have access to money because they're earning a lot of money or their clientele is just like gifting them lots of things. There's certain little things that can happen in a relationship that you wouldn't even expect could be a problem. And this is what happened to Mickey.
My ex, when she turned 30, all she wanted was a vacuum. And I, at the time, was working in retail and I made very minimal money. So every time I got paid, I'd squirrel away and I'd go up to Harvey Norman and put money on this lay-by that was a non-refundable lay-by, mind you. So leading up to her 30th, I was like, yep, cool. I've got this Dyson vacuum. I'll pay it off. And then probably about 3 weeks before her birthday, she got home from her sugar daddy date. And she was super excited, burst into the door. She was like, oh my God, babe, guess what? And I was like, what? She's like, look what he got me. And it was the top of the range Dyson. So she had told both of us that she wanted it. And so for me, it was a lot harder because I was trying to navigate, you know, paying a car, paying a rent for a very, you know, expensive house. And then he just went out and bought the top of the range. Mine wasn't even top of the range. It was bottom of the range. So it caused a huge issue with us. I was so pissed off. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, I know it's so stupid. It's a fucking vacuum. But why would you tell him that you wanted a vacuum and tell me and knowing that he probably can get it because money's not an issue for him?
It's so heartbreaking. I really feel that because I think there's something really special about being able to, and it might not be a big expensive thing, but being able to really show to your partner that you've done something for them. Like you've really saved, you've been really thoughtful, you want to surprise them, like knowing as well for Mickey how maybe excited their partner or desperately wanted this vacuum, which is like, and then having someone just like click their fingers and give it to them. And it's like, no, I wanted to be the one that did that for you.
Yeah.
And I totally understand how that would feel so heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, when you really save up for something, like you're working really hard for it and you're like, this money is going specifically to this goal and it takes you a long time, the gift means so much more. And that, yeah, like getting that opportunity taken away from you, you're literally just like, what the fuck? Like, so devo. So I just thought it was like a really great example of like where if you were dating someone who's like in this scenario, you wouldn't even clock that maybe until you're in that moment and you go, oh yeah, I shouldn't have asked my sugar daddy for that vacuum.
Yeah.
Should just left it for you.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about money and navigating that in relationships. But we also heard from a lot of you talking about the fact that you actually got involved with your partner's sex work or the work that they were doing in the industry, because whether it was OnlyFans, we know that, you know, sometimes people who are famous online doing OnlyFans, their partners or people in their lives can guest star, make an appearance.
That's right. We've even spoken to people before, like maybe it was like PayPig and FinDom, where partners get involved. They don't necessarily do sexual acts, but like they get involved in the relationships, and it's kind of quite common, and it's almost like hard to not, unless you're like physically rocking up to the brothel. I don't know. But
yeah, it's like sometimes if you love that they do that job or you're comfortable with it, it might not be something that you want to do full time, but like you dabble.
Yeah.
And we got this DM from Darren who said, I dated a French porn star while living in Berlin. He was doing lots of films and arts, photo shoots, etc., and I loved it. I would join in with the photo shoots. It was all very PG on my side, but it was a thrill.
Yeah, I love that. And also coming back to Mickey again, a great story from Mickey talking about collaborating on some foot fetish content.
My ex, she started doing foot fetish stuff for guys. So I would have to, you know, wet the socks, mow the lawn, walk around, you know, in the backyard, make sure they are super stinky.
On a side note, though, I find it so fascinating with people who want, like, people's underwear or socks or whatever because, yeah, surely you'd be, if you were really, like, if you were, like, had heaps of clients or heaps of people that wanted to do it, surely you'd be getting other people involved.
I'd be outsourcing for sure.
Outsourcing.
I'd be giving some to you. Some people.
I'd be taking a cut, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, can you wear these for a couple of days? Like,
you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it might not actually be from the person you think it
is. I kind of wonder if people know that that's
And
what's
do they
happening.
Care?
Like, I don't think they do. I think it's part of the fantasy.
If you're collecting socks, please DM us.
Yeah, we'd love to know.
Do you care actually who it's coming from?
Yeah. Or do you just kind of like suspend your disbelief and you're just like, yeah, I believe it's from this person. All right, so we've heard about your experiences as partners dating people who are in the sex industry. Let's hear from some sex workers themselves. So going back to the top of where we kind of went, okay, when do you tell people? When do you disclose this information? This is what Jules had to say.
I've been in the sex work industry for about 5 years. For most of that time, I kept it completely hidden from the people I was dating, partly because of the shame and stigma, and partly because some of those partners simply would never have accepted it as the real valid career that it is. With my more serious relationships, I did step away from the work entirely, and I think that reflects just how much weight the secrecy carries.
That is really, really fascinating. Because it's like we've been saying, there is still obviously a lot of stigma. And for some people, you know, when we were hearing from some of you talking about like, oh, I didn't find out about my partner's job until after we broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jules said, you can hear why, right? Like it is one of those things where you just want to be seen for exactly who you are and not your job. And you don't want that to get blurred or like you don't want people's judgment to get clouded. But yeah, at the same time, it's really hard because it's like you want to be seen wholly for who you are, which means also what you do as well, like your career.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky one and it can be difficult to find that line of like where you're like living authentically but also protecting yourself in a way. And it is such a personal choice. A lot of people did say to us though that they were like, yeah, very much about telling people early. And this is what Lola had to say.
I'm very open about the fact that I'm a sex worker. Generally, it will come up on a first date with someone, as soon as they ask me what I do for a living, it does come with mixed reactions when I tell people what I do. But that's also good for me because if I'm met with judgment or criticism about what I do as a profession, then those people aren't for me.
I really love that attitude because if you are looking for a long-term relationship potentially, like dating in with that headspace would just be like, this is me, take it or leave it. Because you, like we've been hearing from people, like it is not an easy dynamic to navigate.
Mm.
there's a lot of challenges. So you want that person to be all in, right? Like you want that person from the get-go, I guess, to understand and be open to hearing about what potentially that relationship could look like and some of the issues that might come up.
Yeah.
And there are people who have done that and ended up in a really long-term relationship. Eva has been in the industry for years and she DM'd us saying she is a lifelong sex worker and she's married and this has been her experience.
For me, it was a really big, important green flag that they're okay with what I do because it also brings up the red flags of your partner's insecurities as well as internalized shame culture and stigma around the industry. So for me, disclosure at the start of the dating was so important. How they react is a big reflection on whether they have the same life mentality as me, as well as them being emotionally mature and stable and not insecure, toxic or jealous, or adhering to patriarchal relationship norms. So yeah, I disclosed on my second date with my husband and he understood from the very beginning that it's a job like any other. And we have such a strong foundation based upon trust and security that nothing could take that away from us. Yeah, we've been together 11 years.
Wow, what a beautiful like example of, yeah, how a long-term relationship can form and especially like going in really early and almost using it as like a bit of a dickhead filter, which is what like so many people DM'd us about. Maggie got in touch as well and kind of brought up that kind of how she filters people out because as we've been saying, it's such a stigmatized profession and this is what she had to say.
Stripping has been constructed as this girl boss thing that's like palatable to normative society, but there's still a lot of stigma attached to selling sex acts. It's made me pretty tentative about who I tell and made me consider discretion and like maybe not self-disclosing to everyone, which I don't really want to do. I don't want to lie about my work, to be honest. But a lot of my friends do this. A lot of my friends in the industry don't tell people until they trust them. And I'm wondering if that's something I have to take up.
Yeah, it's interesting because Eva also told us about there's so many dangers to opening up. So you really need to be so careful about who you tell. And yeah, she, as a lifelong sex worker, has had a lot of experience with this, and this is what she had to say.
You should not feel like you have to hide being a sex worker. That definitely is not a good idea. But also, I think it's important to understand that you have to be safe to come out as well, because we can put ourselves in some pretty dangerous situations with disclosing, which I have been in as well, where I've disclosed to people that I've dated that I've been a sex worker, and that has triggered abuse and violence, manipulation, coercion. You can end up with financial domination. There's a lot of guys that will stick with sex workers just because they see us as, you know, the breadwinners, as like a free ticket, you know, so they will stay with us for that reason.
Yeah, this was something that we heard from a few of you actually about the financial coercive control. Lara sent us a voice memo with her experience.
I have seen partners who think they are, you know, being supportive, but unfortunately it's crossed the line into control. So get really clear about what is your money, what is your money in terms of the partnership, you know, splitting bills and paying rent, going out to dinner and things like that. So anyone who's too excited about you being a sex worker or is maybe trying to get you, you know, into drugs to help you get them through or sell them on the side, absolutely run.
So hearing all these experiences and being like, yep, you need to be really careful about who you tell, it's even harder because I feel like sometimes people meet a sex worker and they love the idea of it and they're really like pro, you know, sex work, and then push comes to shove and they actually feel a little bit differently about it, or maybe they haven't properly like done some introspection and been like, wait, am I actually going to be okay with having an intimate relationship with them? And this is something that Sarah told us about.
I feel like a lot of girls like struggle so much with their partner being fake supportive. Like they're all for it at the start, and then you start dating someone and they are insecure and they don't trust you, and it's, you know, used against you, and it builds resentment. And I don't think that has anything to do with the industry. I think that's entirely individual. I think people fail to take accountability for their own boundaries sometimes.
It reminds me of this episode, Pip, that we did called Woke Fishing, where people pretend to be woke at the start or like progressive or left-leaning just to be like, yep, totally, I agree with all of the things that you agree with.
Ally.
Ally. And then actually a couple of dates in or however long in, they realize you realize pretty quickly that that was all just a bit of a facade, which is really interesting because this was something that Maggie kind of experienced.
Once I dated a man who I really liked and he was radically left and had really progressive views on relationships, so I trusted it, you know? And he knew about my job from the start. And there was one time when we were on a date where I had just mentioned in passing that I would never change my job for anyone. And the next time I saw him, he actually ended it with me. Me saying that I wouldn't change my work for anyone was a deal breaker for him, which really sucked because I guess I felt like he approached our dynamic assuming that I would change who I am if things progressed further.
You know, and Maggie also went on to tell us as well that sometimes people can use their job as a bit of like a power play or get leverage from it because kind of like what she's saying, I think deep down people are actually not okay with that, what they do for work, and then they use it as leverage in conflicts and arguments and fights.
In terms of like conflict and breakups, often people will use my job as leverage to avoid accountability for their actions. And this has happened to friends of mine as well. It always comes up in conflict. Instead of like actually approaching an issue, like they'll be like, oh, but you sell sex for money, but you strip, you get naked for money. So why can't I do this thing? Because I have to deal with you doing this.
It's almost like a moral power play.
Yeah.
And it really does show like deep down there's still the stigma. They aren't uncomfortable. They aren't comfortable with what she does, but they're trying to be like, but you do all of this so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. I think that's like the toxic side of it. I kind of almost want to hold space for people where they're like, they are really supportive of the person. And then maybe when they're in the situation, it's like, maybe you just really don't know until you're there and you're like, oh, actually this is really uncomfortable for me, or it's really difficult for me to like manage this. And I think there's like some good intention people where they'd be like, actually, no, I'm going to withdraw from the relationship. But then there's people like that who are using it against you or coercing you or like, you know, as we've heard, getting obsessed with like the money part of things.
Yeah. And when it comes to intimacy, Pip, we did hear from a few people who were dating people in the sex industry saying that, you know, there were some issues with the intimacy, but there were some great parts of it as well. Being able to be like, no, what we have is really sacred and it's so different to what they do for a job, and it makes it even more intimate and special. Maggie agrees with this. She basically was like, I have like learned such incredible skills through my job that I'm able to then bring into my relationships.
Intimacy and having sex when you're a sex worker is fucking great. And I mean personal sex here, because your job is to navigate intimacy. So you learn how to attune to others' needs. You learn how to communicate effectively. You learn really quickly how to value your own boundaries and other people's boundaries. And low-key, you become pretty sexually confident. So for me, it's made the process of navigating intimacy a lot easier and a lot more fun. And I did not have these skills.
You know, speaking of intimacy, we actually had a lot of people who were really curious about how it works in relationship with sex and sex work and STIs and sexual safety. A lot of people like in the industry actually messaged us and said, regular civilians don't get tested as much and sex workers have lower rates of STIs and BBV, so bloodborne viruses, because they have more knowledge, they use appropriate PPR, which is basically condoms, and they test way more regularly. And actually the data backs this up. The stats are true. It says that data consistently shows that sex workers in regulated and decriminalized environments, such as Victoria, a state in Australia, have some of the lowest rates of sexually transmitted infections in the community, often significantly lower than the general population. I found that really, really interesting, and it makes complete sense. And this is what Lola had to say about it.
I've found that people generally get tested less regularly than sex workers. They don't necessarily get a full sexual health screening, and so they may be missing out on throat swabs or other swabs, or might not be getting tested for specific STIs. If I do bring people home, I have to teach them about hygiene, like hand washing before inserting fingers or putting a condom on properly, or when to put a condom on, and consent and boundaries and all these other things that maybe I notice more because I'm a sex worker, but are all very important.
You'd be able to tell straight away in your love life, separate your work. Mm. Like, who is a safe person? Like, you just, the skills that you learn, even just people skills, right? Like, yeah, be able to, because you have to do, you have to be safe and you have to think, there has to be very clear boundaries. Like Lola said, you could tell probably like in a split second whether someone that's walked into the room or wherever you are is a safe person, or what kind of mood they're in, or probably like what kind of boundaries they're trying to cross. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you would be so hyper aware of your safety, but also like people and the way that they act and what potentially they're there for and why they want that intimacy or what they're looking for or what they're missing. Or, you know, it's like psychology, therapy, getting so much experience in sex, but also in conversations, I think, as well, that have to be said really quickly, and boundaries. Like, it is a masterclass.
Yeah.
And so in your own personal life, when you are dating, like, it would be so much easier to be able to quickly decide, you know,
yes,
who is someone you want to date, whether they're a trustworthy person, whether they align with you, and whether they're going to respect you.
Yeah. And even like little skills, like how she was saying, like washing your hands before like fingering someone. I'm like, this is stuff that I'm like,
can we please normalize
civilians
that?
We need to normalize this. Like, we really do. Like,
there'd be so many less UTIs in the world.
Exactly.
Just
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Do you know what I wanted to hear from people? And we did get a few DMs about this, is sometimes it is just easier to date someone who gets what you do, right? Like, is it easier to date someone who was also in the industry and completely understands your work? So we got this DM from Sarah who said, dealing with the stigma sucks. So I actually think it would be easy to date within the industry. I never did though. Mm. And Tia saying it's 100% easy to date other sex workers, and I definitely prefer to.
Yeah.
I just watched Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, really?
Rewatched it, actually.
Yeah, right.
I'm having a bit of an old movie marathon moment. And Holly, who obviously is like a low, she's like a girlfriend experience, I think. They've tried to really hide that, I think, because during the time it was like the 1950s, they didn't want to draw too much attention to sex work then. But she was like, a bit of a call girl, she was getting paid. And anyway, she ends up with this guy called Paul, who also is in the industry, and they just get each other. Like, I feel like she really struggles in love. And they have this beautiful love story because he just loves her and gets her.
Yeah.
And they get each other.
And I think what we really overwhelmingly heard from our sex workers who DM'd us, they were really just like, if you can't find someone in the industry, find your people and you'll feel accepted and you'll feel loved. And this is what Lola had to say about it.
I'm very lucky to have partners in my life who know what I do and support me. They're happy to hear how my day was or certain stories of clients. They know that there are bad days too. I've gravitated to safer communities within the general population where I find my profession has more acceptance, like the queer community or communities that explore alternative lifestyles like kink or ethical non-monogamy. I'm not seen as a sex worker and nothing else.
I love that point because, this is something that even, like, on a side note, we've heard from experts talking about queer spaces and, like, trying to find your queer community online if you don't have that where you live. And I think it's the same for sex work. Unfortunately, we live in a world where on socials a lot of that is, you know, very heavily policed, and a lot of accounts get like deleted. But there is so much community online. If this is something that, you may be starting to do for work, or you're entering into the industry and you don't really know who your people are, or you haven't found them yet, definitely a space where you can find them online.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much to everyone who contributed to this episode. It was a massive one. We had so many voice memos and you had so much to say, and it was all really awesome. So I'm really sorry if we didn't get your particular point in here. We tried to cover everything. But yeah, please let us know what you think of it. Like, get in our DMs at Triple J The Hookup. We're always reading them. And we'll see you next time.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.